What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Wednesday. It's hump day here at the Morning Toast, so make sure to hump someone you love today. I sure have already.
I'm looking at Theo. Hey, sweetie pie.
He's looking so sexy.
Yeah, really.
So provocative, honestly. Like, he's just like, the way he has that sway in his walk, he's like, come here, mom.
Hey.
Let's get it.
Oh. Hey. If you're watching on YouTube today, hi, how are you?
Apologies for yesterday.
Yesterday's episode was so fucked, but I think we fixed the glitching problem for once and for all.
Yeah, we have this glitch that appears every now and then, and we believe we fixed it. I don't want to jinx it, but of course, let us know.
But we tried something completely new today, so hopefully that is the cure and that won't happen again. But if you were wondering what happened to yesterday's episode, the second half of the episode is available via podcast if you missed it. Honestly, it was really good. We recapped The Bachelor and like we were just talking about great stuff.
Yeah, and it was just like great energy.
Always great energy. Honestly, we have a lot to talk about today.
We do.
Some really interesting stories.
The TV recap segment has Real Housewives of Dallas, which was honestly such a good episode of television. Like there was just... there was everything. Like, it had all the appetizers, entrees, and desserts.
Yeah. It was so good. I ruined it for myself because I kept pausing. Like, it probably took me 3 hours to watch it because I was pausing to get on the phone with Margot to convince her to cut her hair.
Which
was a worthy cause.
I agree.
So, I still loved it. I think this season is shaping up to be really good. Like, a great group of women. I'm really excited to talk about it. And I'm happy to have them back on my screen.
Yeah.
Though
my plate is full. But not on Tuesdays.
But not on Tuesdays. No, it was nice.
The only other thing we have to talk about is it's Wednesday, Dear Toasters, our advice segment. We have some great submissions today, and we have an update from the girl who farted on Thanksgiving and where that led her in her life. So stay tuned for that at the end of the show.
And what was our advice? Run for the hills?
I don't remember what we said.
I think it was run, if I know myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. That tracks.
The tryptophan, man.
Oh, it'll get you.
It'll get you. I finished High School Musical, the musical, the series yesterday.
And
I just have to say, it was so superb. Like, 5 stars all around. I literally, like, cried a little bit at the end. Like, it was just a beautiful ending. And I loved all the characters. And I'm going to miss Miss Darbus so much. And it was
Young Miss Darbus.
Young Miss Darbus. She's a queen. And I've been listening to the soundtrack and that song that she wrote.
But don't you think, this is the only thing that I remembered from the show, like, it was fucked that they didn't show us her ballad during the musical?
100%! And she started singing it during the musical, so I'm like, yes, we're getting Miss Darbus, Miss Darbus spotlight. And then Ricky's, like, crying outside, and we have to skip. The only thing that I thought was funny, and I felt like the show kind of avoided these, like, classic Disney Channel tropes where, like, there's literally, like, no way any of this stuff could happen. Like, I thought it was pretty realistic for the most part, except that the play was terrible. Like, there were so many mishaps. Like, literally, Ricky came and then EJ. Like, it was just so messy.
Ricky kept, like, switching in the middle.
Yeah, but then, like, the dean of the Conservatory of the Actors of Denver thought she was great and wanted to, spoiler alert, offer her a position. Like, that's really not how those things work, especially with the play that I saw was really subpar.
Yeah. And just, like, the first thing you do when you're casting a play is cast it. And so when it's playtime, like, have your cast ready.
I know, I agree. And, like, Ricky thinking he's, like, doing something for Nene, but not, like, it was so lame and so Disney. But I looked past it because there was so much more that the show had to offer. Like, so much heart,
like if
so
I
much
were
music.
One of the attendees in the audience of that play, and, like, you know the students, so you know what role they got. And then, like, someone comes out, like, and they're acting different, I would just be like, what the, I wouldn't be like, oh, now he's playing Troy. I'd be like, what the fuck is going on?
No, also, like, there was just so much, there was only so much I could believe, you know? Like, so Ricky is in the first act playing Troy Bolton, and he's killing it, and he sees his mom and dad are having such a good time, and then he gets in his harness to do his little dancey thing in the air, and he sees his mom brought her new boyfriend. Now, I just have to say, like, that, like, the mom would never do that. Like, she was like a smart woman. Like, she knows this is an important night for her son. Like, she never would have surprised her son on his big night with her new boyfriend
while,
like,
he's flying through the air,
literally while he found out that his parents were getting separated like 2 weeks ago. Like, that would just never happen. So there were some things that, like, I took umbrage with and had like a hard time suspending disbelief, but I tried to let, like, look at the positives. Miss Jen was such a positive. The iconic gay love story in the drama department was a huge high. I really liked, obviously, the young Miss Darbus, and that song that she wrote on the piano, which was stellar. And a lot of the other music, of course, the one that went viral on TikTok is so good. But that song that Ricky wrote for her as, like, the opening night present was so good. Like, there was a lot of really good songs.
The song that I like is Out of the Old.
The one that I like is Wondering. Yes. That, but the songs are just, like, so good.
I'm surprised you even knew what song that was.
Because I thought it sounded like... like that, like One Republic song.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I just thought all the songs were like, they didn't owe us that. Like, they didn't have to slap so fucking hard on the album, but the music is, like, iconic.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm glad that you watch it, and it just gives context to everything that's been going on this week with Olivia
Rodrigo. Yeah.
Queen Olivia.
Queen Olivia. We stan.
We do. Other than that, I don't think there's much to discuss. Just a little smoothie update. I'm on day 7. I'm feeling really good. Today I sat down to do my makeup and I really could see a difference in my skin. I was like, this is the first time in a while where I'm like looking at my face and I'm not like, what's that? What's that? Oh, I need to drink more water because I'm like so beyond hydrated because you like pretending to care.
What should I do? You know what? I'm damned if I do. And
who
damned.
Give me a close up.
I'm going like this. Okay, so you don't want me to nod? You don't want me to nod. Are you fucking serious? I was literally trying because I watched a show yesterday.
Like, you could see that you're trying, that it's so hard.
It is. Like, I'm just... I don't think I did anything wrong. You had no business calling me out.
No.
Like, yesterday you had business calling me out. Like, I was being snarky. Today, like, I'm literally just listening and
you're
nodding.
You're just, like, waiting for it to be over. The yeah, of course. Update.
By the way, that's just me.
You're not interested in how it's going?
Listen. That's what I do. Like, when other people talk, no matter what it's about, like, I'm always just waiting for my turn to talk again.
I don't know. It's just a lot of people have been asking about my cleanse. And so it's going really well.
Sorry, I won't nod.
I'm really excited, like, to hit the finish line. But it every day is better and easier. I'm making hard-boiled eggs, and they're delicious.
You're trembling, but it's a journey.
What does that mean?
Have you ever seen that TikTok?
No.
Oh, my God. This girl is so funny. She does, like... really, like, interesting comedy. And she's like, you know the feeling like when you have work to do but you're just sleeping instead? She's like, you're trembling, but it's an adventure. Like, it's so funny, and I've been using that in everyday life, and that's the smoothie journey.
Oh, well, I haven't become familiar with that reference yet, but yes, that is the smoothie journey. So all's well on the smoothie front, and yes. I feel like I'm really starting to see the benefits.
That's great. I'm so excited.
Thank you, Claudia.
The whites of your eyes actually do look quite bright.
Just how does my skin look? Like, the same.
Your skin, like, you don't have problem skin.
Also, like, because once I put on makeup, like, you don't see the things that I see. But when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, hey.
Yeah. Wednesdays are always hard for me because during the week, I wash my hair Sundays and Wednesdays. And so, like, by Wednesday, it's, like, crusty. And, like, literally, like, I can't even run my fingers through it. I'm sure it looks good, but it is so crispy right now. Like, you could literally make a grilled cheese on my hair.
It looks really good.
It doesn't feel good.
Oh, well, it looks good. That's all that counts. But I know the feeling when it's like...
I honestly just cannot wait for the day to be over so I can take a shower. And, like, yeah. I don't really even like showering that much. I took a lovely bath yesterday. So peaceful.
Oh, nice. I haven't taken a bath in a few days. I think maybe that's on deck for today.
I love baths becoming a part of your journey in 2021.
I know. So stellar.
I think you tracked in some duty on your boots.
No, it's like grease.
From your boots?
Yeah, I guess so. I haven't worn these in a while.
Oh, you know what? I see. Look, on the bottom of your foot, there's some duty. Like, not duty, like schmutz.
Grease. It looks grease. Like grease.
Are you working in an auto shop that I don't know about?
I just, you know, I have all these secret projects.
Smoothies, grease.
It is what it is. Okay, ready to get into the stories because we have a lot to talk about.
Let's do it.
Without further ado, it is time for the Fast 5 stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And to avoid any RDH complications, it is my duty to let you know that today's episode is brought to you.
Duty.
is brought to you by our Patreon channel, patreon.com/morningtoast. What is Patreon, you ask? It is our subscription service. So this show, 5 days a week on YouTube and all the podcast apps, is totally free. But we have a subscription service where you can pay $7.99 a month for 5 extra episodes from Jackie and I. They're vlogs, they're YouTubes, they're podcast episodes, they're sometimes radio episodes that can be quite controversial. So yes, 5 extra episodes for $7.99. And it is a great way to get more content and then support your local podcast. So head over to patreon.com/morningtoast. Once you become a member, you get access to our exclusive Facebook group, the Toast After Dark, which is our last remaining Facebook group. And it's really a wonderful corner of the internet. Very peaceful over there.
Yes. Lovely. Head over there. Check it out. Home tour coming soon.
Yes.
Okay. First story. Big story. A lot of people are talking about it, and I'm very curious to get your thoughts. Armie Hammer.
Oh, you know what? I literally meant to text you last night saying we must talk about Armie Hammer.
We must talk about Armie Hammer. Armie Hammer is a person that I truly just don't care about. Like, whether he's doing something positive or negative, like, I just don't care about him.
Hear ye, hear ye. I totally agree. Like, literally, who? Like, who?
You know, but like, people feel really strongly about him.
Because he's very handsome.
Yeah, and they love Call Me By Your Name.
And they loved his marriage to Elizabeth Chambers, I think her name was. They were like really cute, like Dallas Queens.
Yes, and so he's in the news now. And you know what? Like, the level that this story is at of like craziness defies my indifference for Armie Hammer.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
No, now we have to talk about it.
No, it's like, no, now I'm interested. Like, it's like Hilaria Baldwin. Like, I didn't, if she did something positive or negative before, I wouldn't have cared much. But like, what she did,
yeah,
defied my level of indifference.
Well, speaking of Hilaria Baldwin, like, I am just sure she has sent Armie Hammer flowers thanking him
for taking her name out of the news,
for washing her out of the news cycle.
Yeah. Okay, Armie Hammer wanted to, quote, cut off a girlfriend's toe and keep it in his pocket and make her his, quote, property until she died, according to leaked Instagram messages that talk about rape and cannibalism. Armie Hammer said he wanted to cut off his girlfriend's toe and keep it in his pocket, according to new disturbing screenshots leaked by a woman who says the actor sent her vile Instagram messages about rape and cannibalism. He began trending on Twitter Sunday night after a series of screenshots showing graphic messages he'd allegedly penned to a woman were leaked by the anonymous, now private Instagram account House of Effie. The actor is yet to speak publicly on the matter, and multiple requests for comment have so far gone unanswered. The alleged messages, said to be sent between October 2016 and February 2020, include conversations about BDSM in addition to numerous sexual references to cannibalistic acts and blood sucking. That's a quote.
He's such a freak, like saying he wanted to chop someone up and like eat them in pieces. Like, I can't.
No, yeah, like, he said, if I wanted to cut off one of your toes and keep it with me in my pocket, so I always had a piece of you in my possession. He also later says that like he is a cannibal and that he's never told anyone.
Right. He writes like, I think I'm a cannibal. I've never really said that to anyone before.
He wrote, quote, you just live to obey and be my slave. I will own you. That's my soul, my brain, my body, my spirit. That reminded me of Taylor Swift. My brain, my body.
Oh my God. I mean, honestly, like, this story is crazy, but it's also like not funny. Like, because they always say, like, when terrible things happen, like, where were the signs? You know, like, this is a sign. Like, Armie Hammer's crazy. Like, he needs to be put away for life. Like, he's insane.
Yeah. And then also, the Instagram account shared screenshots of other things that Armie had sent, like his hand on a script with the same tattoo that we know that he has, and a selfie. So really verifying as much as she can that these messages are authentic.
And
so,
I had heard that a bunch of like Armie Hammer stans, like who even knew those people existed, made a fake screenshot of this girl's Instagram story saying like, sorry, I lied, like these are all fake. And that really got a lot of traction. So I think a lot of people were doubting the validity of these screenshots, but like they're 100% true. Like, I believe them to be 100% true.
Yeah. And so at the end of the day, I guess Armie Hammer is into cannibalism, and that's just something you should know.
No, I know. And like, honestly, in his text messages, like, you can really see like how delusional he is, because he's like, I think I'm a cannibal. Like, wow, I've never told anyone.
But he's
that.
Like, the no, but it's like, he's the insecure cannibal.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, I was gonna say something more along the lines of, it's like, you know, that's like not something like you open up about. Like,
someone, on The Bachelor.
You know, because someone's
you have
like,
one-on-one.
Like, I think I might be bisexual. Like, that's the first time I've ever said that. Like, that's a legitimate thing to admit to yourself, to admit to people around you. A cannibal? Like, no.
Yeah, no. You go on The Bachelor and you have your one-on-one with Matt. I think I'm a cannibal.
I've never said this out loud, Matt, but I'm a cannibal. Cannibal or Cannonball.
Cannibal.
It's confusing.
I guess now you've confused me.
Also, today's episode needs to be named The Insecure Cannibal. Just remember that.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Let's jot that down. Anyway, so that's just like what's new with Armie Hammer. He hasn't responded. I don't know what he will say.
It is weird.
This is just extremely alarming. And I'm just like so like glad that I have no part in his fandom.
Yeah, like I don't feel really any type of way, except I feel bad for like the person who had to receive these messages because they're honestly traumatizing.
Yeah.
And I just didn't see for 2021 like the first cancellation being Armie Hammer.
No, that's the first one because Ilaria was 2020. Slides into 2020.
We really need to start keeping a list.
No, I think that's okay.
Armie Hammer, number one. Honestly, he's so weird. And justice for his wife.
Yeah.
I read in a Daily Mail article, like, spoke out and said she, like, 100% believes, like, everything that. Wow. And I thought that when they broke up, it was very weird. Because for a while, like, to me, who is Armie Hammer to you?
Social network, yeah, Winklevoss.
Yeah, he's Winklevoss to me. And I don't even think of him as, like, a relevant celebrity, even though a lot of people do. But I never saw Call Me By Your Name. Maybe that's why. So, to me, he's just, like, the guy who's married to the girl with the bakery, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so much more to him now.
Yeah. No, people, like, absolutely love him. And he's a really acclaimed, serious actor. Like, A-list.
Not anymore.
No. Not anymore. Now he's C-list for Cannibal.
Welcome to the club.
Anyway, so that's what's new with Armie Hammer. And now you know.
Armie.
Okay, next up, some big programming news that everyone's talking about. Netflix is going to be dropping a movie a week in 2021.
Wow.
Yesterday, Netflix put out a teaser in national commercial spots showing a lot of the slate that is coming in 2021. It's largely consisting of original productions as well as some splashy acquisitions. The slate has 71 titles across genres, from musicals to action, romantic comedies to family animation. Dwayne Johnson, Melissa McCarthy, Halle Berry, Jason Momoa, Amy Adams, Ryan Reynolds, Chris Hemsworth, and Lin-Manuel Miranda are among those featured in the sizzle reel, which was released yesterday. I watched the sizzle. Like, it's so exciting, hyped up. I mean, if they were going to do a movie a week, I feel like 2020 was the year to do it, but it's fine. Better late than never. Netflix has a lot of action movies, and the sizzle had a lot of action movies, and so I just feel like at least half of these are not my genre. But there's one movie that's starring Leo and Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, it's a Netflix movie?
It's going to be on Netflix.
Oh, I don't know that.
I feel like they might have acquired it because if they movie had theaters. Them like under contract, we wouldn't have heard about it. So I think that movie, like, that's a really great pairing. That sounds really good.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Of course, I saw this morning the trailer for To All the Boys I Loved Before 3. And I just love those movies. They're so lighthearted. And I feel like they're really always very, very well done. And the fact that Noah Centineo and Lara Jean never dated is like the best thing to happen to the franchise because they're such good friends and there's like no toxic energy a la Kissing Booth. And I'm just excited for like a feel good movie, and it comes out literally in like 3 weeks.
Yeah. And then I was just gonna ask you your thoughts on Kissing Booth 3 coming out, but
oh,
I guess
it is?
It was part of the trailer too, but yeah.
I only saw To All the Boys I Loved Before because my eyes are automatically just drawn to premium content. And my eyes are naturally diverted away from shitty movies.
Oh my God. Wow.
Honestly, the fact that they have the nerve, the gall, the audacity to put out a Kissing Booth 3 after the absolute train wreck that was Kissing Booth 2, they should know better. They should scrap it. Like, the pure hatred that is radiating between the two main characters is so toxic and is so not necessary for a movie that they should really just scrap the whole thing and just, like, let it die.
I don't even think I watched Kissing Booth 2.
I never finished it.
And if I did, I don't remember it.
It was such a piece of shit. They hate each other. Like,
I feel like they filmed 2 and 3 at the same time. So that energy just is in 2 and 3.
Carries over. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first movie was good. But mostly you were, like, obsessed with the fact that these two were dating in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Then I watched To All the Boys I Loved Before 1, and I know I've spoken about this before, but To All the Boys I Loved Before was, like, so much better. When I went back and watched Kissing Booth again, which I had loved Kissing Booth, I'm like, this is the trash movie that I liked. It's like, To All the Boys I Loved Before showed me, like, what true love is, you know?
Yeah.
And I couldn't go back, and ever since they broke up, and they must have had a really bad breakup, because, like, the hate is so tangible, like, on screen.
Damn.
I'm definitely not going to be watching Kissing Booth 3, and I might even lead a movement against it.
Okay. Sounds good. I mean, if people like it, if it brings them happiness, like, let them be.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Are you ready for our next story?
What other movies are coming out?
Oh,
Do they say, like,
names of movies?
That we know?
There's a heist film called Red Notice starring Gal Gadot, Dwayne Johnson, and Ryan Reynolds. There's a Western called The Harder They Fall with Regina King, Idris Elba, and then Lovecraft County starring Jonathan Myers. Amy Adams is in The Woman in the Window, which I think is based off of a book. So I think I'm going to read the book because that's just a fun thing to do.
I would like... is there like a young adult film coming out, like another franchise?
There's also a movie called Don't Look Up starring Jennifer Lawrence, Leonardo DiCaprio, Ariana Grande, Timothy Chalamet, Kid Cudi, and Meryl Streep.
What?
So that sounds starry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, sounds too starry. Sometimes when there's too many famous people in a movie, it's like bound to be bad. Cats?
Oh, you know what? They did break it out by genre. So
are there any young adult like love rom-coms, like More to All the Boys I Loved Before or Kissing Booth? Because okay. Those are my favorite.
Romance. Yeah. A Castle for Christmas.
That sounds like a Christmas Vanessa Hudgens type of movie.
Yeah. Fuimos Canciones.
Okay.
Kissing Booth 3. Ugh. Love Hard. The Last Letter from Your
What's
Lover.
What's Love Hard?
I don't know.
Who's it starring?
There's no description. Like, they just broke it out. Okay, sorry. They just broke it out. The Last Letter from Your Lover. The Princess Switch 3. Wow, I guess those movies do well.
Okay.
To All the Boys I Love, Always and Forever. And an untitled Alicia Keys rom-com.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But there's no, like, young adult section?
No, but musical section.
Oh.
A Week Away.
Never heard of it.
Tick, Tick, Boom.
Never heard of it. Is that a TikTok musical?
And then there's movies for the whole family. Hmm. A Boy Called Christmas. A Winter's Tale from Shaun the Sheep. Back to the Outback. Finding Ohana. Loud Noise. Night Books. Robin, Skater Girl. I think these are probably animated.
Yeah,
Teenage
I'm not
Mutant
feeling
Ninja, Ninja Turtles.
TMNT.
Troll Hunters. That's us. Wish Dragon and Yes Day.
Okay, very exciting year for Netflix. I mean, the streaming wars are so real. Like, I can't even say with certainty where I'm spending my most time these days. Honestly, I'm spending most of my time on Hulu just because that's where Lost is. But if not for that, like, I'm watching originals all over the place. Like, Netflix obviously had Bridgerton, but I've heard so many things about The Wilds on Amazon. I think I'm going to start it this weekend. People are, like, obsessed with it. So the streaming wars, look at us. We're just a bunch of consumers benefiting from the streaming wars.
We really are. Since I love Bridgerton so much, I think I'm going to watch Downton Abbey at some point because I think I would love it. And I don't know why I haven't watched it yet. It's like... fantastic.
Oh, wait. Remember when we were having the conversation about the Tun?
Yeah.
Downton. The Tun. It's not Downtown Abbey. It's Downton.
Oh, my God. Maybe that's the Tun.
Yeah.
I'll find out.
Yeah, let me know what they
that's
say.
A really good call.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's exciting. A movie a week.
Woohoo.
Next story is really crazy. Rebel Wilson says she was once kidnapped at gunpoint in Africa.
What?
She said the petrifying night occurred in rural Mozambique and left her and her group fearing for their lives. She was on a Sky One series, Straight Talking. She said, we were on this cattle truck and these men came on another truck with a lot of guns. They pulled up beside us with the big guns and they were like, yeah, you've got to get off your truck. She didn't specify when the incident occurred. She said her group obeyed orders and were taken to a house in the middle of nowhere. Despite her fear, Wilson said she was able to remain calm. She said, I felt like I was very good in the crisis. I was like the team leader. They sat us down and I said, everybody link arms, because I was petrified that they might want to take one of the girls or something.
Mm-hmm.
She said that the kidnappers released the group in the morning and then they made a getaway to the South African border. They were never given an explanation for why they were taken, but Wilson believed it had to do with smuggling.
Oh my God, that's fucking crazy. You know what? I was just going to say, I mean, I guess that could really happen to anyone, but I feel like celebrities, of course, there's so many perks of being celebrities, but I feel like a lot of celebrities go through like traumatic things because they're so high profile and so wealthy. Like Harry Styles was robbed at gunpoint. Kim, obviously, like mm-hmm. there's so many like things you can point to. It's so scary.
It's so scary. And it's crazy that this happened and we had no idea. That's right. Truly traumatizing.
But I don't think this happened because she was famous, because I don't think these men knew who she was.
Yeah, no, but still just very, very scary and a very crazy headline to read today.
Yeah, very crazy headline to read today.
Yeah. I also read another headline that just had me in my thoughts and I think it's going to take us on a really fun journey.
Okay.
John Hamm and Harry Hamlin both auditioned for The O.C. for the role of Sandy Cohen.
Oh my God. I mean, neither one of them could have done it, Sandy Cohen justice.
Never. But John Hamm was on a podcast. He's given the news to a podcast called Too Long, Didn't Watch. And he said that he auditioned alongside Harry Hamlin and Peter Gallagher, who were around 15 to 20 years older than him.
Right.
He said, I remember walking in and being like, is that Peter Gallagher? Why am I here? I love Peter Gallagher, but I was just like, dang.
Yeah.
He obviously, we know that Peter Gallagher landed the role. Hamm said he was often called in to audition for roles alongside older actors because he never looked young enough to be in high school. He was about 32 years old at the time when he read for the part. He said, I missed out on all the Dawson's Creek and the early WB right. shows. So then they were like, come in and play one of the dads, but I don't look like
a dad.
I'm not old enough to be that either.
Yeah, that's true. I could never see Harry Hamlin. I mean, Peter Gallagher isn't Jewish, but Sandy Cohen was like the quintessential like old Jewish man, and he really got that character like nailed down perfectly. Like, I couldn't see Harry Hamlin ever playing like a Jewish dad obsessed with bagels. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I, you know what? I feel like obviously we can't see it any differently because that's how it was. And I guess Harry Hamlin like could have, but they made the total right choice.
100%. I mean, Sandy Cohen, I mean, honestly, I can't keep saying Sandy Cohen without saying Sandy Kenyon with the Eyewitness News Movie Minute. But Sandy Cohen was literally like an integral part in the success of the OC, like undoubtedly.
100%. Like his energy that he radiated. And I don't think that Harry Hamlin
could radiate that. What did Sandy Cohen do for a living in the film?
He was a public defender. And then eventually he goes into the private sector. Eventually, like, he works for Caleb and, you know, he's a lawyer.
So, but they were living in the OC off of Julie's money.
Off of Kirsten's money.
That's what I meant, not Julie.
No, they weren't living off their neighbor's money.
No, Kiki.
Yeah.
Got it. Kiki. I haven't watched that show in so long.
It's so good.
It's so good.
A few years ago, rewatched the whole thing, and it was a prize up until Marissa dying.
That's the thing.
Don't bother yourself with the last season.
But you just, like, literally spoiled.
Everyone knows.
Yeah, but, like, if everyone someone didn't watch it, like, you just spoiled
okay,
it.
Okay, if you don't know, like, even vaguely, you know, what happens.
But that's the conversation we had at the beginning of the week.
Then you're not interested in ever going to watch the OC.
Yeah, and like we literally had this conversation at the beginning of the week. Like, if a show premiered over 10 years ago, like, there's no such thing as spoiling it.
Yeah, and also I don't think that that's necessarily a spoiler because it's not like the whole time you're like, it's not like an action series. It's like, yeah. Is she or isn't she?
Right.
You know, it's like she just left the show.
Yeah, I mean, she was low-key towards like the end of her time there, like the worst character, like with her just putting everyone in danger and her bad decision-making. But the show is not the same after. The best is like the first two seasons when like Summer and Marissa and Ryan and Seth are like this foursome and like they hang out at Summer's house and Summer has her convertible and Summer's house is so nice and her dad is never home. Like, that's the best part of the series.
Yeah. Yeah. You should rewatch it if you're looking for something.
Yeah. I also just like need to buy that house that Summer lives in. I just remember like being obsessed with it, like the white columns and the big stairs.
Yeah. Sickening.
Sickening.
So that's what could have been.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I can't believe John Hamm did a podcast.
I know. And I also can't believe that, like, Peter, I guess, I don't know who the big stars were at the time, but I feel like now, like, Harry Hamlin and John Hamm are really big stars compared to Peter Gallagher.
100%.
But he got that part.
Yeah, but I think at the time, Peter Gallagher was as famous as John Hamm and Harry Hamlin are now.
Yes.
It's just funny how fame works, you guys.
Yeah.
Fickle and fleeting.
Our fifth and final story is a little Jeopardy news because there's a new guest host on the scene. Do you know who it is?
Ken Jennings. Katie Couric.
No. Like a new name of someone who's going to host an episode.
Oh, no. Who?
An exciting name. Aaron Rodgers.
What?
Will host a guest host an episode of Jeopardy. He says he's excited.
An episode. Okay.
The Green Bay Packers appeared on the Pat McAfee show and shared that he always looked up to the longtime host Alex Trebek. He said, one of my idols growing up was Alex Trebek. They're doing some guest hosting spots and it's going to be released pretty soon, but I have the opportunity to do one of those. I'm excited about that opportunity with Jeopardy.
That's cool. I mean, I don't think he's being like groomed to be the next Alex Trebek or like, anything, but this is like a fun promotional thing.
Yeah, and I think they're going to do like a lot of like fun celeb guest hosts, and I wouldn't expect that from Aaron Rodgers, and hopefully he lets us know like what's going on with his family.
Yeah, like hopefully he could just do like a sidebar and like does he talk to JoJo?
Right.
That family drama was like so crazy.
Yeah. And that it's like ongoing.
I think people who air their family drama like in the public sphere, no matter like what the case is, like I think those people are disgusting.
But I don't think that they've aired their family drama. Like they just don't speak. And so,
no, there was like tweets and comments. Like,
no, because we still don't know why they're beefing. So they didn't air it.
Jordan said, no, not on The Bachelor. I'm saying like afterwards on social media. Like Jordan like tweeted Aaron like, when he was doing charity during the holidays, he was like, you could do charity, like not even call your mom. Remember?
Oh, that's,
it's just like, it's gross. Like handle it privately. Like some things, even as like someone who loves gossip and celebrity, like to see families fighting in the public sphere, like it makes me like sad.
For sure. And also it's crazy that they're both celebrities, like, and they don't speak to each other.
Well, they're not like even nearly on the same level, no, but like, yes.
They are in the celebrity sphere.
And the celebrity sports sphere. Like they're definitely, I feel like they both could end up at the ESPYs. Like obviously Jordan and JoJo would be sitting in like the 13th row while Aaron Rodgers would be like in the first, or like he might even be hosting it. But still, they could end up at the same events for sure.
Yeah. So I think that'll be pretty cool. You have that to look forward to.
Yeah.
And I feel like you get a glimpse of people's personalities when they do stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he also participated in Celebrity Jeopardy in the past. So he's just like a big Jeopardy fan.
I just love Aaron Rodgers. I think he's like so cute. And I love seeing celebrities doing things out of their ordinary things that they do, like out of their element. Like Tina Fey said, it's like seeing a dog walk on its hind legs.
Totally. Especially athletes too. I feel like celebrities are always trying to like do as many things as possible.
Yes, host, comedy, like a million things for sure. But athletes have like very one-track minds because they're working all the time. So to see them in a different space is fun.
Yeah. So exciting.
Let's dive into TV recap because the Real Housewives of Dallas episode was on last night and it was so good. Because first of all, I think that it is now the second most wealthy franchise after Beverly Hills.
Okay.
Just Tiffany really brought up the group average in terms of style, money, home, cars, wine cellar, closet, fingerprint. You know, like I loved that. I did agree with Stephanie that like inviting people into your home and like literally going through your personal items, like, look, I got this Gucci bag. Like, that's really tacky. But I'm sure the producers like asked her to do that. And as a consumer, like I was not upset. But as a friend, I would be like, this is weird.
Yeah. Cameron was on Watch What Happens Live. Yes. And Cameron and Tiffany are like seriously beefing.
Hardcore on Twitter.
Like in real life. I guess in the show, it hasn't gotten there yet. But she was saying that she was like, I love seeing ladies' closets in general. So like I liked it. But like when you have people in your home, like I guess it's tacky to like take them on a grand tour. But I feel like it was asked of that, of her.
Yeah. I mean, I did think it was weird. I wanted her to show her house around, but then I saw her in her master bathroom, which is like a really private place, and her like shoes were off, and I'm like, this is a really intimate tour. Like,
yeah, and also I feel like maybe they could have done that tour like with just the cameras,
BravoTV.com, you know,
like panning. Because if I were Stephanie or Deandra, I would have been like, oh yay, like about, yeah, like you know, it's weird.
And Stephanie, I don't know when, you know, Stephanie's very new money, but I think a lot of the way that she acts about money is very old money. So, yeah. Like, I think she, like, and then I thought it was just so interesting how, like, when they're getting ready for the dim sum party, you see Stephanie's closet, and it's literally so sickening.
Sickening. I was saying the same thing, but it's like, we still don't see the whole thing. We just are getting glimpses, and it's sickening.
Yeah. As it pertains to Tiffany, like, and Cameron not getting along, like, I kind of see that they would butt heads. And I think that Tiffany, I don't really feel like I know her yet, but I did think it was, like, so glaringly obvious that, like, she was, like, almost going to start stuff with Carrie Brittingham, but the women were like, that's just how she is. Like, it has nothing to do with you. But she was, like, claiming she was being bullied into drinking tequila when, like, it came to the food. Like, she was bullying Cameron.
She did
like,
exactly what Carrie was doing.
Right. And I feel like, I think that the women in general, like, were being a little disrespectful, like, about the food, like, ugh, like 2-year-olds, especially when it's, like, someone's culture. Like, it's, food is deep, is, like, very connected to people's culture, and, like, especially in front of the people in the restaurant, like, I thought they were being rude.
Yeah.
But I fell for Cameron because, like, when they were describing how Cameron eats, I'm like, that's me. Like, I have the palate of a 4-year-old. Like, I eat chicken fingers, french fries, and rice for every meal. So, like, if that I was in that situation, like, I wouldn't know how to handle it. And I thought that Cameron was being very gracious and just, like,
being like, I'm good. Like, don't worry. Not saying I'm not eating it, but just like.
And playing around with it.
Yeah.
And like trying not to be obviously disrespectful. But Tiffany was just like really studying her.
Yeah.
And I thought that was unfair. And like she was definitely doing exactly what she was mad at Carrie Brittingham for doing.
For sure. And I think it pissed Cameron off. Because like Cameron tried to go about it in like a very de-escalated sort of way. And then now Cameron just was saying on Watch What Happens Live, she finds Tiffany to be very bossy. And I'm sure like in that instance that sort of might have been like the first thing that sets them off into like not being friends, because they seem so similar to me.
I know,
like they even, I feel like if I close my eyes they sound the same too, like the pitch of their voice.
Yeah.
And I would think that they would get along, but we'll see.
Something has happened to the Westcott, to Cameron Westcott this season, because she, first of all, is like so clearly the star of the show. Like her confessionals are just iconic, and like her home life is like so interesting, even though, like, who cares about, like, selling and, you know what I mean? Like, it's not particularly interesting stuff, but they're just such an interesting family. And, like, I don't know, something, like, happened to her. She, like, blossomed over the last season. She's so funny. Like, when she said that thing about the centerpiece, like, I cackled.
I literally texted it to you. I didn't know where she was going because she was just, like, talking about the party. She's like, by the way, when you have a party, girl, get a centerpiece.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And they zoom in on the table.
And it really was, like, empty.
It was hysterical. I agree that she's really becoming, like, sort of a narrator of the show, and I am enjoying it.
There were a few moments, and I wish I could remember them, where I, like, truly cackled. I actually love Deandra. And I think that scene when she was sitting with Jeremy, and first of all, when they were talking about their love languages and how hers is acts of service, which is mine too. And like when he was like cleaning the vent, like she was so happy, like that was so relatable. And I just think they have such a good marriage. Like he is such a nice guy and he's so handsome. And I just like love when like they're in their house. And I just think they have like a really good like foundation. And I think that they're like the like really perfectly paired.
Yeah.
I would like to know more. I usually find people's reconnecting with my family so boring, but I want to know more, like the money, like how much. And that's not the same money that Deandra's mom has, right? That's her stepdad's.
I don't know. I think it's the same.
I don't.
I think it's the same Simmons money.
I don't think so. I think because they're saying, she said that, what's her mom's name?
D.
D's husband wasn't her father, but like basically raised her and she was in the will. But then she had another will from her biological father who like had another family, but they were kind of close. And she wasn't like, I think that there were two like huge wills. I think Deandra's like rolling in the dough.
Interesting. I didn't get that, but it's very unclear.
Yeah. What else happened in the episode? Oh, the episode opened with a conversation
with Brandy and Tiffany,
which I thought was like so great.
Yeah.
Like for both of them. Like I'm sure that Tiffany felt like this responsibility, like coming on as the first Asian housewife of Dallas amid this scandal. Like she felt the responsibility to like address it, but also not like start a fight over it. And I thought she just handled it like really maturely. And I think that Brandy probably really appreciated that conversation.
I agree. I think it was a good way to move forward between the two of them. Brandy, I mean, I wish she could have been at the party, but like with all this COVID filming, like it's really, I just caught up on OC and it's like unbearable. So she has to quarantine and she can't go, but I look forward to her. Like I feel like she's so upset with herself,
broken, like shameful.
Yeah, and it's a very sad feeling.
Yeah,
and so I'm excited for her to get back in the mix.
Yeah. The other thing is I forgot, because so much happened like last season with Leanne firing, but like I forgot how annoying Carrie Brittingham is. And her fighting with Deandra reminded me of like, she just like loves to poke and prod, and Deandra really said it perfectly. And then I was remembering like all the stuff she did last season before like the huge blow up. So like nobody really ever addressed it, but she is like an annoying friend like that. Like just always fucking like looking for, to like make you the butt of the joke.
Yeah. I don't really remember
her, I
like,
did.
From last season. I thought that I liked her, but I agree. Like her energy, I was just not feeling it. That's not someone I could ever be friends with. Like who's just like always poking at me.
Exactly. And it just reminded me, I totally forgot about that side of her.
But it seems like all the girls are really close with her, but it also feels like she is kind of like getting a backseat this season. Like in the first episode, she didn't have any
solo
moments, but then we see her family in the second episode,
which I think that her daughter, I think her name is Olivia, saw herself on TV last season and literally like it changed her life. Like seeing how she spoke to her mom, which was so disrespectful. Like I remember growing up, like kids who spoke to their moms that way, like it was just so crazy rude. Like, and I think she was probably mortified because her behavior is much, and I actually think she made a really good point about like going to college and expanding your horizons and then like coming home and like feeling like the people that you grew up with like are just on different levels than you, like emotionally and intellectually.
Yeah.
But she's a entirely different person. New hair, new attitude.
No, I literally didn't even know it was her. And I agree, her behavior last season was disgraceful.
Atrocious.
Yeah.
So it's actually turning out to be like a really good season. I just love the women of Dallas so much. They're so funny in their confessionals. Like they don't hold back. I know that their like ratings aren't great, and that makes me really sad. And I really want like everyone to get on board.
I just don't know how any franchise's ratings could possibly be worse than OC. Like if you're able to watch OC, you should be able to watch everything else.
I know, but OC just like has this built-in following because it's been on for so long, and Dallas just doesn't have that. OC's on season 13. Dallas is on like season 5.
Yeah.
And I just don't want it to get canceled. Like, it's really, really good. And I feel like it's, like, on the brink. Like, that's just a feeling that I have.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really great season. I think Tiffany is an amazing addition.
Me too.
To the cast.
I just, if you are looking to start Housewives, like, start Dallas. It's really, really good. And they just, like, need to be saved. I'm, like, so worried about them.
Yeah.
Okay, let's dive into Dear Toasters, our advice segment where you can write into deartoasters@gmail.com about anything that's going on in your life anonymously, and we will read it out and do our best to give you some advice. First up, hi, Claudia and Jackie.
Hi.
Okay, I can't even believe I'm saying this. I feel crazy. I've been with my fiance for 7 years. We were on again, off again in the beginning, but we worked everything out, moved past our mistakes, and he's a peach bomb. However, we both suffer from horrible anxiety. I'm always anxious that he's cheating on me. I literally ask him up front like once a month because I'm that crazy. For background, he has never cheated on me before and has never cheated in any relationship. In fact, he has been cheated on. I had such a vivid dream that he was cheating, so vivid that in my dream I told myself to check his phone. I did, and I found nothing. I still have such a pit about it, though. What has been making me suspicious is the face that we are getting married in is the fact that we are getting married in June, but he hasn't been wanting to do anything in the bedroom. He keeps blaming his anxiety. The lack of physical needs is fueling my cheating theory. He stays up way later than me, even when he's tired. He's super weird when I touch his phone or his watch. I truly don't know if I'm overthinking it. Am I being a crazy person, or is this really a woman's intuition? Sincerely, a crazy stan that needs help.
Well, this sounds exhausting. Okay, I think there's two things here. First of all, the fact that you are so worried that he is cheating on you, and even though he has never done anything to give you any inkling that he is, I think that maybe you should like talk to someone or see someone to sort of unpack like why you have those feelings.
Right, because I think at the end of the day, it's like you can trace that back to like an insecurity either in you yourself, in your relationship, yeah. And that's just not how you want to live.
Right, I think you need to work that out, and I think a therapy would actually be a great place to do that and sort of trace back like why you are so sort of paranoid. Worried.
Yeah.
And then the second part about now his behavior has changed and he doesn't go to sleep with you and he's super anxious too. Maybe you go to couples counseling.
I was going
to
suggest that
like,
as well.
This just sounds like you guys just need to like work some things out, but it sounds like you otherwise a healthy marriage. Like,
yeah. And sometimes
relationship.
Relationship. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like maybe the relationship is like, and I think that a lot of girls do this, like the relationship is so fine, but like, you look for problems.
Yeah, and you like sort of sabotage it. And right. A lot of times that's something that starts within you and your relationship could be absolutely perfect, but you would still treat it that way. And so I just think that's something that you should talk to someone
right.
about.
Right, because nothing in here makes me think he's cheating. Like staying yeah. up late is not a crime.
And you went through his phone, you've gone through his things, and like there's nothing to make you think that there's nothing. So I just think this is a lot like in your head.
Mental,
and
yeah.
sometimes you just got to go unpack your head.
Yeah, no, it's the suitcase gets really heavy and sometimes you just got to unzip.
I know. But also like I feel like Matt James now when I say unpack, like it's his favorite word.
Is it?
Yeah. He's always, like, he's said it like that's his thing this season. Like Claire wanted people to show up. Matt wants to like unpack
people. Oh, people. I did not
yeah.
pick up on that.
But it is a good saying. So
I agree. But I don't want it to be oversaturated and then it's like loses its flavor.
100%.
All right. Next up, dear Claudia and Jackie. It's every girl's favorite kind of drama, wedding drama. First off, I want to say that you two set the bar high for toaster weddings. Oh, you were both beautiful and stunning, and your venues were everything of the sort. That's so
Thank
nice.
Thank you so much.
Here's my issue. My friend and her husband got married last summer, COVID style. 20 people went. Sadly, her bachelorette party was canceled because we didn't feel comfortable traveling at the time it was scheduled. So fast forward to this spring. She's wanting us to do her bachelorette, even though she's already married. Here is my problem. I just flat out don't want to go. One, she's married already. Two, I'm not ready to travel to the state we're going to. Three, I have a serious quarantine body that I'm rocking, and I don't feel like being around a bunch of skinny bitches in thong bikinis. Please help. Do I convince her we should not do it? Do I tap out, or do I just go? Sincerely, a toaster who dreams of being a bride one day so she can show her friends how to be a nice one.
That's so funny.
That's tough. Honestly, this girl, I mean,
this is an easy one. You just say, like, you won't go because of COVID. Like,
yeah.
Whatever you need to say, blame it on COVID. Like, COVID is just, like,
COVID has been so treacherous, but it has given us people who love to cancel plans, it has given us
ultimate
a concrete 100%.
And so, whatever you need to, like, maybe if you saying to her, I don't feel comfortable traveling to this state, even though I think that that would completely suffice. Like, I think I have friends mm-hmm. and people have said that and we all are like fine with it and vice versa. Or if you need to like plan something a week after her thing where you're like, oh, I can't because
I
would have to quarantine, but I have this a week later and I need to be there for that. I think that this should be so easy for you to get out of. Like, use COVID as an excuse, like, while you still can.
Yeah, I think tapping out of plans that you don't feel comfortable in for whatever reason they are is, like, the most healthy thing you can do in your adult life is, like, just say no to things. Like, mm-hmm. you don't have to be everywhere. And, like, FOMO can be so toxic, but so can keeping up with it, like, going places you don't want to go. So I think you're fine. Like, you don't have to go. I can't tell if this girl's being annoying by having a bachelorette party after a wedding, or, like, I should feel bad for her because she had, like, a 20-person COVID wedding, and, like, she's just trying to make the best of it.
I'm kind of annoyed with her.
You know, it's like the moment's over. Like, you had the COVID wedding, you didn't wait, like.
Yeah, but I think if she framed it as, like, maybe in, not in the spring, but even a year on her wedding anniversary, as, like, let's do a girls' trip, not a bachelorette party, but, like, let's just go on a trip.
Right.
To celebrate, like, we don't need to all get the sashes and play the games right. and all that. But, the like, penis I want to take the trip that we didn't get to take. Like, that sounds really fun to me.
Yeah, that's
but
fair.
But don't do it at a time when it's, like, your friend, other people are getting married and having these conflicts, like, I would do it post-COVID completely. Like, just wait.
I agree. All right, now I'm really excited because we have an update from the girl who farted at her Thanksgiving dinner with her boyfriend's family, and it was really loud. Dear Jackie and Claudia, here we go. The time has come. An update from my Thanksgiving acerole, if you will. An update on the Thanksgiving fart heard around the world. Quick recap, I farted during the moment of silence at my boyfriend's Thanksgiving dinner, or should I say, ex-boyfriend. Now, Claudia and Jackie, please find peace in knowing the actual fart... Sorry. Please find peace in knowing that the actual fart itself played little to no role in our breakup and was actually never spoken about. However, the absolute terrorism that despicable moment caused on my brain started to take its toll. I found myself constantly squeezing my cheeks in fear. I couldn't go on. I came up with a reason that was technically true. It's not you, it's me. I would like to take this moment to thank you. After submitting my story, your concern with my bowels hit deep. Sorry, I forgot. I'm not remembering what we said. The more you talked about how... The more you talked about how concerning it was that I farted before dinner, the more I began to realize this could be a legitimate medical issue. So I did, in fact, had to go to the doctor to find out that not only did I have asymptomatic COVID, but that I had irritable bowel syndrome as well. You cannot make this shit up. Your concern and diagnosis saved my toilet and my family. Thank you for doing God's work. I am forever grateful for the doctors and the toast. Oh my God.
That's crazy.
Well, the fact that she had IBS is not shocking.
No.
But the fact that she was COVID positive and she didn't even know and she only went to the doctor because of us and she could have infected her grandmother. Like, we are literally saving lives.
Saving lives. Wow. That's what you can get when you take our advice.
I'm shook.
That's really the craziest update I've gotten. It sounds like she's doing well too. And so even though
because she's funny. She should be a comedy writer. Like, the way that she writes is very funny.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for updating us. If we've ever written it, if you've ever written in and we've spoken your request on air, please write us in on an update. I love hearing back from it. And I'm so happy that you're doing okay, taking care of your body.
Yes. Love to hear it. Wow, we'd love an update.
I so didn't see that
I'm
coming.
I'm so, like, happy for you and these answers.
Hilarious. That's our show. Anything else you want to talk about? Oh, I mean, I am writing a book. I don't know if I've mentioned that. Girlwithnojob.com/book. Oh, and you want to hear something cool? So if you've gotten my book, or if you haven't gotten my book and you're trying to get a copy, Goodreads is doing a giveaway. They have 100.
I saw, that's so cool.
And now I'm, like, on the page with all, like, the real authors, like, on Goodreads giveaways. And, like, we're just, like, you know, giving away books. So they're giving away 100 books and 100 people can win. I put the link on my story. But I think if you also just Google, like, Goodreads Girl With No Job giveaway, you can get it. And I'm really excited. And that's all I have to say.
So exciting. We shall see you tomorrow.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast and Lana Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We could use some more subscribers. Come on. And if you're listening as a podcast,
you can find us anywhere podcasts are found.
And you can find us anywhere podcasts. Wait, what do I say?
Are found Spotify,
iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us The Morning Toast and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an amazing hump day. Don't forget to hump someone you love. We're back tomorrow.
Bye.